Thank you, preacher. Would you open your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter number one? Philippians, chapter number one. I've certainly enjoyed my time here. Beautiful area, just gorgeous driving from here up to where we're staying. All the trees, man, the green, everything is beautiful. And this is a wonderful place. I want to thank you very much for allowing me to be here. And it's been a great blessing. We did play tonight foosball, and I'm not going to tell you the real thing that happened, how we got 9-9, and I felt like, you know, it wouldn't be right to beat Pastor on his own turf. So anyway, I felt like the Lord leading me to let him so that he wouldn't be whining here. No, I'm just kidding. We had a great time, and I've enjoyed this very much. Open your Bible, Philippians chapter 1. We'll jump in here. If my wife was here tonight, I'd be looking down, and she'd be saying, "Honey, that's enough. You need to go ahead and start." So I'm going to go ahead and act like she was here. I better not say anything else because I'm like, you know, the Apostle Peter. I have a shoe-sized mouth, you know, that my foot, you know, it inserts almost automatically. So I better be careful, you know, what I say and how I say it. Philippians chapter 1, as we go here, we're going to see a couple different things from the book of Philippians. We're going to jump back and forth, but the book of Philippians is one of what we know as the prison epistles. In other words, when the Apostle Paul, he was traveling, he was preaching, and he was thrown in prison. He was thrown in jail. He wasn't thrown in jail because he was speeding too much, you know what I'm saying there, but he was thrown in jail because he was preaching the Word of God. And as he was in there, you know, I don't know what you would think, but I assume if I was suffering for Jesus, if I was in a bad situation, if I was in jail, and, you know, I mean, think about it. In jail, you know, I mean, you don't exactly have, who knows, the best of conditions and the best pillow. And, you know, I mean, for crying out loud, there's no Chick-fil-A sauce inside. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's rough stuff. Yet the Apostle Paul uses this letter, four chapters, this short letter he uses from jail to encourage the church of God. And how is your attitude when you're going through hard times? I don't always have the best attitude. Yet God wants to teach us even through those hard times. Well, in chapter number one, it's beautiful. In fact, my favorite Bible verse, the theme that takes me throughout life is in Philippians chapter one. It's verse number six, being confident in this very thing, that he, that's God, which hath begun a good work in you, that was the day he saved me, perform it, perfect it, mature it, all the way until the day of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing knowing that even though I don't deserve it, when God started something in my life or in your life, he promised to be with you all the way until he takes you out of this world. And you know, there's a lot of times I didn't know if I was going to make it or I didn't know how I would make it or if it was possible. And the Lord said, "I made you a promise. I'll be with you every step of the way." This has got so many wonderful things in this book. In chapter number 2, verse number 13, it's God that worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, God puts a desire in your heart, and God's big enough to help you get that desire rolling and know how to do it. In other words, if God says, puts in your heart, "I want you to witness somebody," you say, "Well, I don't know the Bible verses. I'm scared to talk. I don't know how to do it." The Lord says, "Don't you worry. I put the desire in there, and I'm going to help you do it." Many missionaries give the testimony that, "Man, I don't exactly want to do that." And God says when he puts a desire, he's going to help you fulfill that desire that he's given you. And what a beautiful thing it is. That's for all of us. Wherever God has placed you, you say, "Well, God has put on my heart this week to, I don't know, to say, 'God, if you want to use my children,' or 'God, I'm going to give this amount,' or 'God, I'm going to get involved in church,' whatever it may be." You know what? If God put that desire in your heart, God is big enough to help you fulfill that desire that he put in your heart, right? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, all through that chapter, verse number 10, he said that I may know him, the only desire that I have. Everything else, it really doesn't count. It's just, as he says, it's just as lost. It's as dung. It doesn't really matter, just so that we can know Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." It's just full, it's packed full of wonderful verses. But we're going to focus on chapter number 1, just a small section here. And let's talk about this evening. As we focus on chapter number 1, ask yourself this question, because this is what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, this is what he asked: why are you here? Have you ever thought about that? Not necessarily in the church, but why are you here? Why did God leave you upon this planet? Is it because of, I don't know, an accident? A coincidence? Maybe by fate. Maybe your parents told you were an accident. I mean, maybe you just said, "Well, I'm here just to collect a little bit of money, have a good old time," or whatever it may be. Really, why are you here? Or could it be that God has a specific purpose for your life? You see, God doesn't just love the entire world. God loves you. And God has a purpose for your life. You don't have to float through life, dear friend. God has a specific purpose in your and for your life. It might be different for every one of us, but God wants to use you. Why are you here? And I say this, and at the end of this, we're all going to answer that, but why are you here? You have to ask yourself, because many times Christians, although we're on our way to heaven, and if you're not, you need to get that settled tonight, but although we're on our way to heaven, many times as children of God, we get so confused and wrapped up, and we even get in the rat race of this life. We just get doing all the different things, almost like we're living for our money, or we're living for the fun, or we're living for our family, or whatever else. And the Bible says, stop right there. Maybe you just need to rethink this one. Why are you really here so that we can jump back on the rail and go where God wants us to go? Well, look, if you would, Philippians chapter 1, we'll begin our study here in verse number 19. The Bible says this, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 19. For I know, the Apostle Paul says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, deliverance, through your prayer, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I find it very interesting that he says, I know I'm going to be delivered or saved out of this prison cell. He says, because of two different reasons. He says, one, because of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God always takes care of his children, right? But he also says, because of your prayer. Now, that's interesting to me. You know, God can do the work without you. He doesn't need you. But God doesn't choose to do the work without you. He chooses to use human instruments. I mean, if God wanted, he could scream down from the sky. He could write up on the wall. He could put it in the heaven. God can do anything he wants, but he wants to use you and me to do his work here in this world. What a beautiful thing. God can send angels if he wanted, but God chooses to use us. Verse number 20, the Bible says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Look at this next part here. Now I shall be ashamed, so now also Christ, he shall be, look at this next word, he shall be, what does it say? Help me out. He shall be what? Magnified. Help me out. He shall be what? Magnified. Now look what it says. He shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In other words, Apostle Paul says, whether I live or whether I die, I'll tell you one thing. My life is to magnify Jesus Christ. The word magnify simply means to make bigger. You know, you get the magnifying glass and you hold it up to your Bible and the letters get big or the words get big. You can really see in on it. And this is what our lives are all about. Not about us. It's to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. When we run through the Word of God, we see that we're the salt of the earth, right? We're the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. But then all of a sudden, it changed over in Matthew chapter 5. In verse number 16, it says, let your light therefore shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, dear friend, you know why you're here upon this earth? To magnify him. Not to live for yourself, not to enjoy. Listen, nothing wrong with the fun time and the good time. Oh, praise the Lord for all of those. Praise the Lord for friends and family and church, all those different things. But you know why you are here? It's to magnify him. What are you doing in your life? What am I doing in my life? What are we doing to make Jesus look bigger? I have three siblings, and many times my siblings don't go to church. And let me tell you why they don't go to church. Because a man who did go to church, he didn't live for God. And maybe you've heard this because I hear it all the time from my family. I don't go to church because church is full of a bunch of, oh, y'all have heard the same thing. It made it all the way up here to Maryland. How about that one? Do you know many people, they want nothing to do with God just because someone was a bad example? And I'll tell them, and I told other people, you know what? Just because they didn't act like a Christian, don't you blame that one on God. That's not God's fault. You know, he doesn't deserve the rap on that. Yet when a child of God does not act as he should, God takes all the blame. This is what the Bible says. You know why you're here? You're to make him look bigger and better and more wonderful to magnify Jesus Christ. You know, the light that shines in the night, that moon. Do you know, really, the moon has no power in and of itself. It receives all of its strength and all of its light from the sun. But when it lets the sun hit it and shine through, all of a sudden it's beautiful in the night or maybe on the water, whatever it may be. It works. Listen, and there's nothing good about me and you, but if we'll let the Lord shine through us, we magnify him, buddy, then they can see his good works. They can glorify our Father, which is in heaven. May we magnify the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 13, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, he said, or verse number 31, excuse me, he says, whether you eat or you drink, and it's almost like he's going to give a list. I enjoy lists personally. My mind isn't the way it works, and so I like different lists. And so he says, you know, if you're going to eat something, if you're going to drink something, or, and then it's almost like he stops and says, well, you know, anything else you do, he says, let it all be for the glory of God. So whatever you do, you know what magnifying Lord is speaking about? It's speaking about your testimony. In other words, we're supposed to be the same person at church that we are at home, right? We're supposed to be the same person at church that we are at work or we are in the neighborhood or wherever it may be. I was in Argentina. God began to do a work and people began to get saved and it was wonderful. And many times on a Sunday morning, people would start coming to church and I mean, they just looked sharp and everything was going well. And I'd preach and we'd get done. And boy, it seemed like God was working in their hearts. And then they would jump in the vehicle. And as they would jump in the vehicle, I mean, everybody's got smiles on. God just worked in their heart. They were singing. Everything's wonderful. They jump in the vehicle and it's almost like as they get ready to close the last door, last kid gets in. They get ready to close the door. And as the kid gets in the door, it's almost like the spiritual air just like floats right outside of that vehicle. And then all of a sudden, Dad will turn around and say, "Good night. Would you kids just sit down and be quiet? Honey, just leave me alone. We need." And all of a sudden, they start bickering back and forth. And I'm like, man, just 5 minutes ago, all of a sudden, you all were saying amen. You were singing. God was doing something. And now it's all of a sudden, it's like it's a whole different ball game when we get in the car or when we get home. Listen, as a child of God, we're to magnify Him whether we're at home, at work, at church, wherever it is, right? Our testimony is say, you know what? I'm a child of God. You know what? The world should look at whether it's our marriage or our family or our friendship, our mouth, our vocabulary, whatever it is, and it should magnify our Lord. Well, leave your finger right here in the book of Philippians. We're going to come right back here. Leave your finger right there and go with me to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. Very quickly, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, we're going to go back to Philippians 1, so don't lose your place there. Why are we here? Well, first of all, we are here to magnify Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? Why are we here? Number one, why are we here? Number one, what? To what? Magnify. One more time. Why are we here? Number one, to what? Magnify Jesus Christ. In other words, our lives, our words, our families, our marriages, all about us should make our Lord look greater. We should show that our Lord is great. We shouldn't give a bad name to our God. Our testimony, our life, we're to magnify Jesus Christ. But go with me, the same writer here, the human instrument that God uses, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2. Now he's writing, but not to the church of Philippi. He's writing to Timothy, that young man that he's training for the ministry, his son in the faith. Look what it says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me, this is Paul, the same commit thou, that's Timothy, to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So follow with me. Paul says this, you know, all these things that I've received, Apostle Paul, he was saved on the road to Damascus. You remember that in Acts chapter 9. After he was saved, he goes in and Barnabas helps him out. And then he hears from the apostles. And then he's over there in that desert. And boy, he hears the Lord teaches him. He receives all these things. This is what he says. Timothy, everything that God has taught me, that others have taught me, all these things that I've received, now I've given to you amongst all these people, maybe the congregation. He said, what I've given to you, Timothy, that's not for you to grab a hold of or put in your pocket or hide or put it under a bushel, whatever it is. That is for you to give it to, not just to anybody, but give it to faithful men. And these faithful men, they're not to keep a hold of it and just put it under wrap. These faithful men are also to pass it to others also. Now follow with me. Paul received it. He passed it on to Timothy. He passed it on to the faithful man. It's to go on. Listen, now what is this? Go from one generation to another generation to another generation. You know what that is? It's called the multiply. You know why God left you here, dear friend? Not only to magnify Him, but also to multiply yourself. You know, a Christian should, listen, we could go through and a horse reproduces a horse, right? Or someone says, no, a colt, you know, I know, but a horse reproduces another horse, right? And a cow, another cow, right? And a fish, another fish, and a chicken, another chicken. We know all about that. And a monkey to my in-laws. No, I'm just kidding. And, you know, everything after its own kind. We know that. And in a child of God, a Christian should reproduce another Christian. They say that less than 2% of Christians actually will ever win somebody or share the gospel with somebody in their lifetime. Boy, that should never be. I'm not saying that that's you. I'm saying the majority, listen, dear friends, and you know, we might be able to complain, boy, look at all the, maybe the Muslims coming in or maybe the Buddhists, or we might complain about all these other things. Listen, dear friend, we might even complain about all the politics, but follow with me, and I don't want to be crude to you, but listen, you know what? All our complaining is in vain if we are not sharing the gospel with other people. Because, you know, I mean, nothing can change. Just because we change the political seat, that's not going to change it. Just because we close down board, that's not going to change it. Listen, the only thing that will change people is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we are God's instrument to share. And so we must share the word of God. We must multiply ourselves. I tell our missionaries, you know what? If we don't share the gospel with our children, then they'll never know how to share it with their children. We are one generation of losing the gospel. We can lose it. If we don't share it with them, who will? They'll be the next, whether with the pagans or whatever it is. Dear friends, we have a responsibility. We are here to multiply ourselves. God's put us here so that we can share his word with other people. We're in Argentina, and a young family, Hernan Rosa, they got saved according to Hernan's testimony. We used to pick up their kids on a little bus route that we would take. And according to Hernan, he used to hide out. And he said, every time he would drink a lot, he had his own lifestyle. This is his own testimony. Had his own lifestyle, and he didn't care about anything. And he said, here comes those religious nuts, to pick up my kids. And he would always hide out. Well, one day, he was having a lot of problems in his marriage. In fact, it got so bad that his wife, Rosa, she walked to the bathroom. She broke a glass. She got a shard of glass. She walked in the bathroom. And her intention was she was going to slit her wrist and she was going to kill herself so that she can show her husband, now you're stuck with the kids. Now you'll know how it is without me. That was in her idea, at least her testimony. She said, I was going to kill myself. Well, she went to the bathroom doing it, and she couldn't muster up enough. This wasn't her first time. She said, I couldn't muster enough strength. And so I went back and I went to bed and I laid in bed there and I held on with my hand that shard of glass and I thought, well, I'm not going to do it tonight, but in the morning I'm going to do it. Well, that morning she woke up and she said it was Sunday morning. Her kids were going to go to church that morning. And so she woke up that morning. She went to grab that piece of glass and it wasn't in her hand. So she looked on the floor. It wasn't there. I personally believe a little, angel mouse or something took it away. I don't know. I don't even know that those things exist. But anyway, there was gone. She never did find that thing. Her husband woke up and he said, marriage isn't working out. Things aren't working out. As a last resort, why don't we go to that church where our kids go and why don't we see if they can help us out? Hernan and Rosa both came to church that morning, Sunday morning. Both of them heard the gospel. Both of them got saved. Boy, their lives are transformed. Things begin to happen before too long. They're both baptized. They become members of the church. They went through discipleship before too long. Hernan, he was now in the Bible college, and he was growing by leaps and bounds. God was doing something great in his life. And so one day, they start bringing people to church. They were bringing people. They weren't bringing one or two people. They were filling up a busload of people, and they just kept bringing them to church every service. And so my wife said, she went to Rosa, she said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. Now, you remember, she's still a new Christian. And so my wife said, how are you bringing so many people to church? Maybe we can find out the secret. We can share it with everybody else and everybody can do it. I wish everybody brought as many people. This is just great. And she said, well, Hermana Mindy, what I do, this is what she told my wife, what I do is every Saturday I walk in my neighborhood and I'll go up in Argentina. You don't knock on doors. You stand out and you clap. And they'll come to the door. That's the way. That's their system. And so she said, I go out there on Saturdays and I'll clap. They'll come to the door. And she'll say, hi, my name is Rosa. I live around the corner. I'm one of your neighbors. And tomorrow I would like to invite you to my birthday party. All you have to do is you have to come out and at 8:30 a.m. you come to the end of the road right here. And there's going to be a big blue bus and it's going to pass by. It's going to pick you up and take you to my birthday party. Well, my wife's figuring this one out. And she said, Rosa, well, you're lying to these people. What are you doing? And this is what she said. Oh, yeah, but by that time, they're on the bus on their way to church to hear the gospel. It's okay. I'm like, no, you can't lie, but God bless you. You're doing great. Keep it up, Like, what are you supposed to say, this is one creative woman, And I'm like, good night. Do you know, finally, after a couple of years, they started the third Independent Baptist church in our area. And when they started that, they took probably 40 to 60 people from our first church plant to go over there and start that third church plant. And the majority of the people they had personally brought to church and won to the Lord. What a way to start a church. Amen. You know why? Because she realized, hey, God saved my life, gave me a home in heaven. God saved my marriage. God's given me good. And buddy, this is too good to be true. I got to share this with other people. And she realized, and they started multiplying themselves. By the way, last year I wasn't able to go to Argentina, but 2 years ago, right before COVID, I went to Argentina. I got to see many of my friends and where the Lord allowed us to serve. And I got to meet with all the pastors. And I met with Hernan. I went to his church, and there were probably 25 young men and young ladies that were on the platform singing a special that coming from his church, preparing for the ministry just from that one man's church. He's learned a great deal. He is multiplying himself, and God is using him in a great, great way. Well, go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Why are we here, dear friends? Well, we're here, number one. Help me out. Why are we here in this world? Number one, we are here to what? Magnify Jesus Christ. That's our life. That's our testimony. That's all about us, how we live, everything about us. But not only are we here to magnify, number two, we are here to what was it? Multiply. Say it with me. What are we here for? Number two, to what? multiply. Are you sharing the gospel? Are you inviting others? Get a track, do something, tell someone, send them a text, call them, pass by their house. Let's multiply ourselves. Let's share the gospel with other people. But we'll go back to Philippians chapter 1, where we stopped right there in verse number 20. We'll continue verse number 21. Look at the Bible says very quickly. The Bible says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die, it's gain. Verse number 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait or a tight spot, between two, having desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. You remember? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. He said, man, I'd love to get on out of here. It'd be much better to be with my Lord. But look what it says here in verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh. Now look at this part. It's more needful for who? More needful for who? You, it says. Verse number 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with who? You. And continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant for me by my coming to you again. Now, why is this all this pronoun you? Listen, does Apostle Paul think that everybody needs him? They got to have him. I mean, he's just the only one out there. He's the man. That's not what it is. The Apostle Paul realized he was not here just to magnify and to multiply. He is here to minister. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. That word minister is a fancy word for the word serve. Listen, dear friend, do you know why God left you here? He left you here not so that you could be served, yet that you can serve. That you can give your life. Say, Lord, what can I do? Listen, none of us have been saved to sit. All of us have been saved to serve God. We come and we listen and we sit and we say, God, thank you. And then we walk out of those doors and say, may I put this in practice and share it with my neighbor and share it with my friend and my coworker and all the people. But God has saved us for a specific purpose. We are here to minister. You know, some of the most difficult things, to be quite honest, is working with other people. Everybody's got their personalities, right? Now, I remember being in Argentina. I'd walk in and a lady, she's now in heaven with the Lord, but a sweet old lady, and she was Hungarian. We had a lot of Slavics and people in Argentina, so from Ukraine, from Russia, from different parts over there. And this lady was Hungarian. She was a real sweet lady, and she'd come in, buddy. I mean, she was not in a good mood. Everybody knew it. I mean, she just, I'd walk in like, hey, hermana, ¿cómo está? And she'd, I'm like, well, I bet I can guess what mood you're in today. I mean, it was not very difficult. And I remember I'd say, hermana, ¿cómo está? And I remember one day she'd say, pastor, I need to tell you something. You know, when they, pastor, you know, like your finger's talking, you know, like, okay, you know, what's up? She said, pastor, I need to tell you something. I'm like, yes, ma'am. She said, I want to let you know I forgive you. And I looked there and said, well, thank you. And I'm like, what in the world did I do? You know, inside I'm like, okay. And she said, you know, about a month ago, I don't remember, you know, or 2 months ago, whatever it was. She said, you walked in here, the way they greet in Argentina, much outside of the United States, and, you know, greet here in the United States, everybody shakes hands. And most of the world, the way they greet each other with a kiss, so they'll kiss on the cheek there. Men to women, women to women in Argentina, men to men, everybody just greets each other, you lean in. You make the kissing sound, you greet each other that way. She said, pastor, you come in here, and you greeted everybody here, and all of a sudden you came up to me, and you just turned around, you ignored me, and you walked away. And she said, I've been mad at you ever since. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I even remember that. You know, I'm like, someone needs to kick you through the goalpost of life, for crying out loud. You know, come on, man. What in the world are you? Like, you know, and then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. How about that? And she's like, but today I forgive you. I'm like, well, blessed be the name. Like, come on. Thank you so much, sweet thing. You know, how about that? Listen, you know, sometimes it's so difficult to work with that. You know how that is. You know, we all have different opinions. You know, like, I would have preferred, pastor painted it white, but I would have preferred green. And like, good night, you know? I mean, jump in a submarine and go look at the green everywhere. You know, come on, you know? Everybody's got their opinions about absolutely everything. And buddy, it's difficult. Listen, but you know what the Lord says? You are here not for yourself. You're here to serve others. You know what? As we serve our Lord, it's impossible to serve our Lord without serving other people. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 17, if anybody hands this world's good and they see it, this brother in need, and he shutteth up his bowels of compassion, the Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? The world, the greatest need that the greatest need that the world has is called salvation. And you and I that are saved, if we see the world around us that are not saved and we shut up our bowels of compassion, we say, who cares about them? I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm all good. The Lord says, how dwelleth the love of God in us? You see, we serve our community by sharing and giving the gospel out right here. We serve our world by sharing the gospel, though sending missionaries, through praying, through doing our part. But we are here to minister. You see, when we give the missions, dear friend, our Lord is blessed because we're obeying him. The mission, the people on the mission field are blessed because now we're sending people, missionaries over there so they can hear the gospel. The missionary is blessed because he can finally get over there and do the work that God's called them to do. The church is blessed because by faith they're pushing forward to get the gospel out. And you as a giver are blessed because you're by faith seeing God work in your life and use you as you give. See, God wants to use you. So why are you here? Why am I here? Oh, dear friend, I simply remind you something good that you already know. You and I know that, oh, yes, we know these are all basic steps. And come on, preacher, this is a simple thing. We all know about that. But listen, dear friend, I am so guilty of getting off track and thinking that I'm here to collect my money and to live my life and to do whatever I want. And the Lord says, no, I want you, if you're not a child of God, get saved. But if you're a child of God, God says, get back on track and realize that I have a purpose for your life. You're here to magnify him. Are you doing it? You're here to multiply yourself. Are you sharing the gospel with others? You're here to minister for him. Are you plugged in where God wants you to be plugged in, serving him with your life? Can we pray? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, we love you and thank you. Oh, Lord.